I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to NFL Live. It's LSU's Pro Day featuring quarterback Jaden Daniels, a speedy Malik Nabers. We'll get to that. And Brian Thomas Jr. Lewis Riddick is there, caught up with Jaden Daniels after his workout.
Tell me what you thought about your workout, how it went today.
It went well. I think we showcased a lot of things. Obviously, in the receivers, putting everybody in the best position. Mm-hmm. Some throws I want back. It felt good coming with my hand, but a little too strong. But, you know, it was a good overall day.
You know, it looked like you really were conducting this workout. You don't always see that from quarterbacks. A lot of times they have a quarterback coach with them.
Yeah.
It seemed like, you know, you would run a couple of routes and get the guys back together and kind of talk through what you wanted to do next. Is that something you purposely wanted to take control of today?
I mean, that's something I've been doing ever since I got to LSU, so it's nothing that changed. For me, it's like the same guys that I came in with. We grew up together. We all had a respect level for each other. So me and my quarterback coach, Taylor Kelly, came with a script. He was like, here, it's your script. It's your key, so, you know, go do it. You can't be a leader if your teammates don't respect and trust you. So at the end of the day, you gotta show that you work hard and that you care about the game of football. You care about it in the locker room at the end of the day, and then, you know, they'll follow you. Ever since, you know, I came in, I was 18 years old at Arizona State. Leading the locker room, had guys that were older than me, you know, they followed me coming here, brand new star 21, and, you know, having to regain the locker room, relearn the locker room, and have everybody get my respect and my trust, and vice versa. So it's something that I've been dealing with since I was young.
You know, through this draft process, what has been like maybe one or two things that people have wanted to know about you the most? Like, what are the questions that you keep hearing people ask you about the most?
How much I weigh?
Well, I can just tell people now.
210 pounds.
There you go. And I can tell you this. Look, people, looking at him up close and personal, which I got a chance to go like last year on the quarterback circuit and saw Bryce and saw CJ. I can tell you this. Look, he's put together now. So everybody out there who's worried about his weight, don't worry about his weight. What works for Jaden Daniels? Like, what kind of structure works for you? What do you want out of an organization? Because I think it's important for you to interview them as much as they're interviewing you. So what do you want? What are you looking for?
I mean, organization is going to invest in me. Obviously, you know, they're investing a lot of money in me. But on and off the field, you know, as a person, as a man, that's something that LSU did here. Arizona State did. Coming at 18, they invested in me as a young man. You know, coming to LSU, they invested in me as a man. And show that I'm the guy. You know, they're going to do everything in their power to make me successful. And then from there, you know, it's about me putting in the work. And, you know, I better myself every time.
Lewis Riddick joining us now from LSU. I love the little jokes you guys got in there, too. What did you think, Lou, of Daniel's workout today?
Look, Laura, when you see him up close and personal, you just see how powerful he is, but how smooth and fluid he is at the same time. Meaning this, when he wants to really drive the football, it comes out of his hand like a bullet. I mean, it's just absolutely just ripping through the air, and it gets there in a hurry. When he wants to put touch on it, he can make those touch throws. When he wants to throw outside the pocket in simulated out of structure throws, he can throw it with both touch or he can throw it with power. So quite honestly, he has the full range, you know, within his toolkit that he can go to. And I think his wide receivers also, you know, with Malik and Brian, I mean, those guys are just fantastic, fantastic athletes. And you could just tell that this is the highest quality college football that you could possibly get, both in terms of the way these guys conducted themselves, how they got along, and then how they performed out here on the football field. I mean, I was giddy watching it. Like this is the elite of the elite here. And you can tell that these kids – or these young men are the very best this country has to offer going into the pros, and that's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, as I know you know, Lewis, because you watched a lot of LSU. Watching LSU last year offensively, you would think that they were a well-oiled machine. Now, two likely first-round wide receivers there you mentioned working out with them. What did you see from Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr.?
You know, there's such a contrast in terms of body type and style and the way that they move. Look, Malik is powerful, very, you know, he's got a Jamar Chase-like lower body, a Deebo Samuels-like lower body, almost built like a running back. But you could tell today before he did his vertical jump, where he verticaled 42, you could see the spring he has in his legs. I mean, he's like a pogo stick. He's just so powerful. And he's a guy who's going to be able to work inside or outside. And then with Brian, you see the guy who's much longer, the guy who's even more fluid, who you can tell has a second, third, fourth gear down the field. A lot, you know, maybe not as demonstrative as Malik is from a personality standpoint, but they really do play off of one another. And you can see, look, if you were building a wide receiver room, those are the two type of guys you would want. You would want the strong, powerful, run after the catch guy, and then the guy who's really maybe the more traditional outside lane guy that can go get the deep ball. I mean, it's just, look, if you're Brian Kelly, you're sitting there going, man, I hope we got some people that can replace these two, because these guys are absolute studs, both of them.
Yeah, that's the thing about LSU, though. They just, like, reload every single year, and they are top of the top, yeah. Cream of the crop there. Thanks to Lewis Riddick for joining us from Baton Rouge and all the latest there for LSU's Pro Day. Everyone else is here, too, to discuss this Pro Day. Dan Orlovsky here. We got the LSU boys, Ryan Clark and Booger McFarland. It seems like it goes that way, Dan. You know, anytime we get some extra LSU love, I know you want to comment on Boog's shirt. Go ahead.
Boog, the logo, your shirt.
You love it, right?
Oh, my gosh. That's the shirt to have right now in the world.
You know what? That was even better just because of Boog's delay. Like, it really had to marinate there.
I hope everyone can see it at home. It's Cabot. It's the logo of the new golf course down in Florida. All right. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, you know what, Ryan? Let's do an NFL show right now. You were at the
Please.
Pro Day. What did you take away from Daniel's workout and the interactions that you saw?
Well, I'll say this. The first thing is I just love the way Lewis gushed over Louisiana State University. It was just music to my ears. But it was a very professional Pro Day, especially when you're speaking on Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. Also, some of the things you saw from some of the younger wide receivers who were allowed to be a part of this Pro Day in order for Jaden Daniels to get through his script. I was one of the more popular people there because that 18-year-old that Jaden Daniels was talking about going to ASU played with my son Jordan, and to watch him grow, to watch the command he had over this simulated style of passing, the routes, the way that he brought in all of the wide receivers, it was amazing. But to me, I had never really been to one of these big-time quarterback Pro Days. And when I walked away, I thought to myself, that's what it's supposed to look like. The ball is barely supposed to hit the ground. He's supposed to have full command of throwing the football everywhere he wants on the field. And when you think about a Jaden Daniels, you would often think that something like this, where it was just about your ability to place the football, maybe it wouldn't be as spectacular as some of the other noted pocket passers, but it was absolutely spectacular. It was amazing. And I thought the way that he conducted himself as a leader truly showed throughout this entire day.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, when you hear you, RC, and then Lewis talk about it, you sit there and go, well, it's just a pro day. But then you go, well, it sounds like the pro day looks just like the tape. You know, and when you watch this young man's tape, that's what you love about it, is there's this consistency that is repeatable. The ability to see the coverage change versus Auburn, two safeties to one safety. No, the only throw I can make is this seam ball, but I can't throw the seam up the top of the numbers because the corner is overlapping. So I have to bleed this safety or this seam to the hash, but I can't throw it across the field. It has to be on the hash and in timing. That looks like a pro day throw, except it's in real life football, an 11 on 11. And then I often say, what is transferable? Well, understanding of coverage. I've got four verticals, but a stop route at the bottom of the screen. So you have to make the right decision. Everybody's covered up, so the stop is the only throw. Then it has to be on time. You have to throw it before the receiver comes out of his cut because it's man-to-man coverage. You have to throw the receiver down his stem or where he just came from. And then you have to give him the right ball so he can do something with it after. That looks like a pro day throw. It just happens to be in real life game. So it's lovely to hear that you watch things on tape and it looks a certain way. And then when you watch the person on really one of the biggest days of their life transfer all that over and it looks the same. That's where I sit here and I go, that's why I would take them number one, because everything is so consistently repeatable.
You know, oftentimes the journey is more important than the destination. So I'll go back on the journey of Jaden Daniels. I cover college football for ESPN, and I remember sitting in the studio the night that Florida State came to the Superdome. It was his first game starting for LSU.
Yeah.
And he looked like a deer in the headlights that night. Fast forward, now he's the Heisman Trophy winner, and I doubt he's going to get out of the top two picks. And so the last time I talked to him, I asked him, I said, hey, man, what changed? Because I remember watching you that night, and I remember seeing you now. What changed? And he said, Boog, it's the first time this past offseason that I've been given an opportunity to work with the same coaches, the same receivers. And so we're not trying to put an offense in. We were really fine-tuning our craft. And so you have a player now that's gotten so much better from year one to year two at LSU. You have a player now who is ascending. You have a player now who, when you build an offense around and give him an opportunity to learn that offense, you can see the trajectory in which he's going to go. We can talk about all these other players. Here's what I know about Jaden Daniels. I've seen the last 2 years. I've seen where he's gone. And I asked him to explain to me why he got there. And he explained it so eloquently about the familiarity and the consistency and the playbook and all the athletes. All they did was work on football offseason.
Yeah.
And so if you draft this guy number one or number two overall, you're going to get a player that when you give him the offense and allow him to get better and better, you've already seen what you're going to get from year one to year two at LSU. And I can't wait to watch his rookie year and going forward with whatever team he goes to.
Yeah, Daniels averaged 11.7 yards per pass attempt last season, best in a season in FBS history. And even during the season, I talked to Brian Kelly a few times. They were saying, we actually want him to take more risks. We want him to do more, be even more aggressive. He started to do that at times as well. I think that's even what Boog's talking about, the development throughout a season that you'll see at the next level. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. Our draft expert, Matt Miller's 7-round mock is officially out. Hear which monster trades he has rocking the first round. The Vikings are doing something there. You don't want to miss it. Plus, later we dive into the issues going on in Dallas, some decisions that need to be made there, and what our guys think they should do with Dak. It's all coming your way here on NFL Live. We'll be right back right here on ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Which teams want to get up there naturally to get a quarterback?
You're always going to listen to all the different possibilities, trading up, trading back, no matter where you're at.
Even during the course of the draft, you guys know those trades take place and you have to be fluid.
I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona.
The four quarterbacks go in the first four picks, that's not like the fifth pick anymore. That's like the number one pick of the draft for teams that, you know, have a great quarterback.
One way or another, I'd like us to see us get a top-rate young quarterback.
Whether we've had a chance to move up or not already, or we're still in the process of trying to do that, or maybe we love where we're at.
It's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic.
So many teams could be in the quarterback market in less than a month of the draft. Earlier today, Matt Miller released his seven rounds mock draft. He has a quarterback being drafted with each of the first four picks in the common draft era, which began in 1967. There's never been a draft in which quarterbacks were selected with the first four picks. Matt's mock also includes two projected trades within the first four picks as the Vikings move up to get Drake May and the Broncos move up to draft J.J. McCarthy. So Matt joining us now. And Matt, lay out the trade for the Vikings to move up to number three for us. Let's start there.
Yeah, Laura, the Vikings started this process when they acquired the number 23 overall pick in the draft from the Houston Texans. Now they have 11, they have 23, and they are in a spot to be aggressive, and that's exactly what they do. And I actually think the Vikings will start calling everyone. They will call the Washington Commanders at 2 to see, hey, will you trade out? They'll call the New England Patriots at 3. If they get a no there, they'll call the Arizona Cardinals at 4. But I think in this situation, something about the New England Patriots roster that we're not talking about enough is how bad this offense is. We know that Belichick and Gerard Mayo had a great defense. This offense, the left tackle is a gentleman named Connor McDermott. He was a sixth-round pick in 2017. They have no number one wide receivers. This is an offense that is just destitute when it comes to frontline talent. So I think it is smart of New England to trade back, get those two first-round picks this year, a first-round pick next year. This is going to be similar to the Trey Lance trade where the 49ers had to send 3 first-round picks and a second-round pick to get up to number 3 to take that quarterback. So if I'm New England, I know a lot of fans and even Robert Kraft are saying we want to get a quarterback, but I think you at least have to open your mind to the idea if maybe we try to build the team before we plug a quarterback into what could be a really rocky first year or even second year situation without those pieces around him.
I just want to give you some love, Matt. I haven't seen you forever, man. You look great, man. You look like healthy, lost some weight. Good for you, bud. You look awesome, man. Congratulations. You're looking good, dude.
I was waiting for you to kill the mock, and now you're being nice to me, Dane. Come on.
You look great, bud. Congrats. What do you got? You were going to ask me
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Truly, you look great, Matt. Bud. It's hard work that's gone into that, and we love to see it as we call you a friend and a piece of our family. Dan, what do you think of the trade?
Well, so the trade for Minnesota, do you think it's more their number one target is Drake May or their number one target is get as high as possible? Because I would sit here, Matt, and go, I think the ideal quarterback for Kevin O'Connell's just scheme, you know, if you just watch the college tape, is go, you know, transfer to transfer, J.J. McCarthy. You know, Drake May would be the guy that wouldn't be ideal because his feet are the one that need the most growth, and that's such a fundamental part of the offense. Guy or spot?
I think spot, Dan. And I'll tell you, this mock draft was written about a week ago, and I have gone back and forth between May and McCarthy, and everything I'm hearing from the NFL teams is what you're saying of J.J. is so poised under pressure. He's such a clean prospect, something that flew under the radar last week at his pro day. He came in at 220 pounds. He put on around 11 or 12 pounds between the end of the season and now, so he is growing a little bit. And you would be very well equipped to speak on this. When I watched Drake May, I thought, man, there's some Matt Stafford with the arm talent, with some of that early Matt Stafford mobility. Now, the footwork does need cleaned up. I think that's why it's almost better for Drake to sit a little bit as opposed to the other top quarterbacks in this class. But I think if you're Minnesota, step one is getting to that spot, a lot like San Francisco did in that 2021 draft, and then figure out which quarterback you are in love with.
Yeah, and just to put a bow on this, I do think, Matt, your point about the Patriots roster and not wanting to put a rookie quarterback in that situation right this second, getting some draft capital is a really good one. All right, lay out the trade, Matt, for the Broncos to move up to number 4 for us.
Yeah, Laura, if it goes like this, we are going to see a lot of phone calls, a lot of activity, because some team is going to be left out, whether it's the Raiders or maybe it's even the Saints. Someone is going to try to get to this number 4 spot. I think Sean Payton is the person who is just aggressive enough, maybe crazy enough to do this. Now, interesting, Denver doesn't have a second round pick. They traded it to get Russell Wilson. So they would actually have to give more future first rounders, which I think would be enticing to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals can slide back to that 12th spot in the round, still get a marquee wide receiver, can maybe get help on the defensive line later in the draft, and they would have 2 first-round picks. And then I think for Denver, you got to go get that guy because at 12 right now, you have Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, and at 12, you're hoping Bo Nix is still there. So I think if you're Denver, this is the time to be aggressive. We've all heard Arizona is willing to do what they did last year, which is take an offer that would blow them away and move back and still maybe get the player that they like. They did a great job last year getting Paris Johnson Jr. I think this year they trade back. They could still get a marquee wide receiver.
Look, I see that face. What do you think of that trade?
Well, I mean, the trade from a compensation standpoint looks good. I just have a hard time giving up 3 number ones for J.J. McCarthy. I mean, when we think about giving up 3 ones for a guy that I haven't seen do what the other 3 guys have done. Like, we've seen Caleb Williams. We've seen Jaden Daniels. We've even seen Drake May 2 years ago, even though it was that long ago. I've seen those guys put a team on their back and throw the football and make plays down the field. Have we seen that from J.J. McCarthy consistently? I haven't seen it. And so we're going to give up a generational haul for a guy who, yeah, I've seen flashes. I see the footwork. I see all these different things. But are we sure that this guy can be a stone cold playmaker like those other three guys? I'm not sure. So on the surface, Laura, the trade looks good. I love the compensation. I love the aggressiveness by the Broncos. But we're about to give up that for J.J. McCarthy? I don't know about that. That's a little rich for my blood.
Yeah, I mean, Matt mentioned earlier Trey Lance and that trade, all that they gave up to get him. We still don't know. The book isn't closed on Trey Lance.
And we see how that worked out for Trey Lance.
Right. Well, yeah, okay, Boog, you said it one way, I said it another way. But either way, it's got to be in the back of their minds. All right, the NFL draft is coming your way so soon. It's going to be here before you know it. And as you guys know, we'll be covering all of it. We'll see if we get some of these trades draft night. It's going to be interesting. April 25th, 26th, and 27th, we'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network. And as always, ABC's coverage focuses on the prospects' journey to the draft. NFL Live will be there, too. Plenty more coming your way today on the show. Drama in Dallas. Well, what else is new? Hear what Jerry Jones says about Dak Prescott and his future with the team. Could Dak be on the way out of Dallas? Ooh, here's Jerry.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, everybody, get ready for this. The inaugural United Football League season kicks off this weekend, and we'll have unparalleled access with a doubleheader on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus Sunday. The D.C. Defenders taking on the San Antonio Brahmas at noon Eastern, and then the Houston Roughnecks host the Memphis Showboats. Spring football has never been better. Don't miss it. Let's talk a little Dak and the Cowboys here on NFL Live. He's on the last year of his deal, and many have wondered how the Cowboys are going to handle this going forward. Remember, despite falling short of expectations in the playoffs, Dak was one of the best quarterbacks in the league last season. Here's Jerry Jones on the quarterback yesterday.
Dak wants to do any and everything he can on and off the field to help us win. We are where we are. We have our contract. We're locked and loaded for this year. Mm-hmm. And we can see as we move along how we are thinking, we inclusive of everybody here, us, Dak, and we'll see what we do. I don't have anything to report today.
Well, let's see if Graz has something to report. Our insider Dan Graziano joining us now. And Graz, explain to us the thinking here from the Cowboys.
Oh, I thought you were asking me to translate Jerry Jones. No, what the Cowboys are thinking is not just about this year's salary cap number, which is 55.1, but next year's, which is already a little over $40 million, and he's not even under contract for next year. So if they were to restructure, or even if they were to extend him now, that would only add to next year's salary cap number, and they're very conscious of the idea that the cap's probably not going to go up by $30 million again like it did this year. So if they can do it, the Cowboys would love to keep Dak Prescott on this year's cap number and work around it. They know they can go into that contract and restructure some salary if they need to, but they'd rather not because they want to make sure that they don't inflate future cap numbers too much. This is the year with the big cap increase. Financially, as weird as this sounds, it makes more sense for the Cowboys to wait until next offseason to extend him than it does to do it this offseason.
I think you did a pretty good job translating Jerry right there because it's really all in the money.
Thank you.
And as we mentioned, Dak Prescott led the NFL in touchdown passes last season, had a great year, becoming the first quarterback in Cowboys history to be the NFL's outright leader in touchdown passes in a season. He posted the second highest QBR in the NFL, trailing only Brock Purdy, and finished as the runner-up to Lamar Jackson for the MVP award. And Ian, what did you think of Jerry and the Cowboys' approach here with Dak?
Oh, it's confusing because one of two things happens. If they don't get a restructure done, I don't think they will, because if they were going to, it should have happened before free agency. One of two things happens. Dak is going to play well again this year. He does basically every season. If he plays in the regular season the way he does this past season, it's either going to be a $65 million contract, because that's what it's going to demand, or he's going to walk in free agency. He's not under contract. So they're going to get absolutely nothing for him. The Cowboys are expecting a Super Bowl. So if Dak plays really well and doesn't get a Super Bowl, they're going to be sitting there and either giving him a ton of cash or going to get nothing for him. And this roster has holes in it. And for everybody that wants to continue to tell me, guys, they got three picks in the top 174 picks of the NFL draft. They're down five starters. So to think that this team is a Super Bowl caliber football team when they are a lesser team than the one that got mollywopped by the Packers last year, and their quarterback is in a play and win or go elsewhere contract, it's mind-boggling how much they fumbled this.
Yeah, mollywopped is a very underrated word, but correctly used here in this case. When the Dak Prescott contract wasn't restructured or renewed, I think that told us all the things we needed to know about the way Jerry Jones sees his now starting quarterback. And so you go into this season with the lame duck coach and the lame duck QB. That's a recipe for failure. Not to mention, you don't add any pieces around them. The team that got mollywopped is still there, but now they're less of a team, and you're going to ask Dak Prescott to bring a lesser team further than he ever has any team in his career. It's just not fair to ask that, and it's not a way to fairly evaluate him going forward. So I agree, Dak Prescott will play the quarterback position well throughout the season, and if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm fully prepared to not only test free agency, but to play somewhere else next year. And I know, you know, Dan made jokes about being locked and loaded and said that this team wasn't loaded from a roster standpoint. Jerry Jones is simply talking about the fact that they are not doing anything with Dak Prescott's contract.
Yeah.
This is not what would happen to Josh Allen. This is not what would happen to Joe Burrow. This is not what would happen to Patrick Mahomes. Because all of those people, all of those teams know they have their guy. They're clearly telling Dak that he ain't theirs. And for him, I hope that he explores free agency and finds a new logo to represent.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that you guys said. I would just ask us to go back to when Dak Prescott signed the deal he's on now. It was 4 years, $160 million, and we led Get Up, we led SportsCenter, we led every show we had, why aren't the Cowboys paying Dak? And eventually, on Jerry's terms, Jerry paid Dak, and he gave him a pretty good deal
right
at the time. And so I just think right now, Jerry is not sold on the point where he's ready to pay the quarterback $60 million right now, nor does he feel like being backed in the corner, which is what we all said that the Cowboys were. I think in the end, though, if Dak Prescott goes and plays well, he may want to go to another team, and he may have every right because they can't franchise it. But I still think if he plays well, his best offer and his best success is going to be had in Dallas. And Jerry has proven, based on the last contract, he will do this deal when he gets ready like he did the last time.
Well, if Jerry Jones wasn't willing to pay him that money, then they should have traded him at the end of the season, even though he has the no trade clause, made it work, found a way to book. If he
we
has,
said the same thing last book, time, though, didn't we, Dan?
No, but he had the ability to be tagged last time. He doesn't
yes,
this time.
He does not this time.
And book, if he's second or third in the MVP voting, he ain't. Buddy, the contract he is going to demand either there or somewhere else is going to be ridiculous. And if they don't have a NFC championship to go along with it, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, we all know that Jerry at times likes to negotiate or even do a little bit of messaging through the media. And you wonder if, I'm sure he's well aware, Dak Prescott has all the leverage here. Maybe that's a big piece of
good
this.
Good job by his reps.
Let's get to some more top stories with Graz, starting with a new home for Jadeveon Clowney. What do we know there?
Yeah, signing with the Carolina Panthers, kind of a hometown guy there, signing with Carolina after a season in Baltimore in which he had 9.5 sacks. Jadeveon Clowney, Adam Schefter reporting 2 years and $20 million. So another new team for Jadeveon Clowney. Tre'Davious White, the former Bills quarterback, is going to have a new team as well, planning to sign with the Los Angeles Rams. Very interesting signing for the Rams, who had an extremely young defense last year that outperformed expectations. Now adding an oft-injured but high-caliber veteran to that defensive secondary. If Tre'Davious White can put his health concerns behind him, will be a major asset to the Rams. And then earlier this week at the NFL owners meeting in Orlando, they changed the rule for the kickoff. You'll now see this XFL style kickoff where everybody's lined up 5 yards away from each other on the return team side of the field. The NFL has believes it'll reduce the injury rate and the concussion rate on kickoffs because it'll reduce the high-speed collisions. It was an interesting couple of days down there in Orlando because there was a lot of momentum for this proposal and this change, and yet there were still people that were just kind of like sort of opposed to the change. And whenever I asked somebody, what is the opposition, the answer was always, well, it just feels kind of weird. So there's going to be a kind of weird play now in the NFL starting this season that we're all going to have to get used to.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, too, it's kind of weird. It could lead to big momentum shifts, could lead to touchdowns. So kind of weird could end up being good or maybe bad, depending on who you are. Thanks to Groz for being with us. We appreciate the insight and the news, as always. We're going to keep on here on NFL Live. Coming up, an old friend, Jim Harbaugh, back in the NFL. Well, welcome back, Lost in Translation. We're going to try to interpret Harbaugh-isms like this.
That's like a fist. You know, there's five of them. One, two, three, four, five.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes.
On the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Hmm? When it's grim, be the grim reaper.
Are you watering and are you fertilizing every day? So when it's time to pop, it will pop.
I feel like a mermaid and everybody else is like dogs.
You got to see if they can swim. I'm going to take them on the island.
We need volunteers, not hostages.
You're arguing with your girl and she says, I'm sorry. Like, all right, let's watch a movie now. We're good.
You know,
to bring back one of our favorite segments this week. It's Lost in Translation Owners Meetings Edition. We heard from a lot of people. We play a soundbite and the guys are going to try to explain what that person meant. So let's start with this from Jim Harbaugh.
Every year is a new year. I mean, it's almost like I had this vision in my head, like some of those Survivor programs, you know, like Survivor Island type of programs. I mean, there's like 32 teams Yeah, we're all we got. Everybody in that building, everybody in that organization, nobody was born on third base. They had to work their way to first, to second, to third.
So Jim Harbaugh is basically trying to convince us that everybody in the building grew up eating potted meat and Spam and had food stamps. Nobody came out on third base. Nobody grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth. We're all hustlers. We're all grinders. Well, Jim, you're making about $15 million a year and you're all millionaires. So I get it. We're all one team. We're one organization. But there is no way you're going to convince me that everybody in that building didn't grow up on third base. Hell, some of y'all hit home runs and that's where y'all started at, on home plate. So I get it. We're trying to sound good. We're trying to make everything sound well, but I'm just not buying it.
I'm so confused.
Hey, Bug. Get a Bug. Hey, Bug. Okay.
I'm so confused.
You know what? I kind of want to give the next one to Bug, too, but we won't do that until maybe we do. Next up, Antonio Pierce talked about both his quarterbacks, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. First, his thoughts on O'Connell.
One thing I love to see him do is be more vocal. You know, you don't want the quarterback being a church mouse. I don't need him being a rah-rah guy either, but, you know, when things is wrong, I need him to fix it and be vocal about it. one thing about Gardner is you've seen throughout his career, he finds a way, right? So that's going to make our room better. To me, it's a good fit, and it's a culture fit. Wild boy right there. I like the personality.
Wild boy in church mouth.
Well, I grew up in church, going to church every Sunday, and I don't ever recall actually seeing a mouse there nor hearing one, but I heard the saying, and sounds like Aidan O'Connell's a very quiet human being, and that's tough to be really good at that job when you're quiet. Now, Gardner mentioned a different cat. When he says he finds a way, he's kind of like implying not really talented, but somehow good enough to play good football and winning football. And when he says, wild boy, if you've ever spent 30 seconds talking to Gardner Minshew, it's 30 seconds of the best time of your life, because you walk away going, I've never met anybody on planet Earth just like you.
Yeah, that's a really wild for you. You know what? We should have given that to Boog. Sorry, Dan. Finally, we couldn't do this segment without hearing from Mike Tomlin.
Shut up, Rutledge.
Who gave us this quote. I pride myself in creating discomfort for myself and others. I'm fundamentally against comfort. RC, he was your coach. Help us out here.
Well, first off, what he's saying is he doesn't like it easy. Right? The road to Kappa land is long, rough, and rugged. And this is a Kappa man like me and Book. And so when you think about Coach Tomlin, he was one of those people that wasn't born on third base, that had to earn it the hard way, that wrote letters to John Lynch, wrote letters to Rondé Barber as a rookie coach in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and told them, you're going to be better. And what he said is, I want it to be ugly. I want it to be difficult. That way, when we get to game day, when game day gets a little hard, when we face a little bit of adversity, we're not going to have these millionaires thinking that they're entitled to have it easy. Listen, I love Mike T, and I love the way that he approaches every day making you earn it.
I'm not a cap. Am I qualified?
My goodness. I'm scared.
Do I qualify to be Kappa?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
We have white Kappas now. We have white Kappas now. They just don't dress well enough. If he dressed differently, he could be a
Exactly.
Kappa.
Hey, I have an idea. How about we do something where RC and Boog get to pick out an outfit for Dan and dress him and like get him
Can
get
I do
good
for Super Bowl?
It yeah. will be the
Can
best he's ever
Super
looked
Bowl?
In
I'll
his life.
I'll pay for it.
Dan, okay, yes.
This is happening.
Done.
Still to come on NFL.
Done.
Oh, wait. And then Dan gets to dress you, RC.
Not paying for it.
Nope, not happening. Retired.
I'm kidding.
No longer
Still
doing TV.
Still to come on NFL Live. We head back down to the bayou. We love going there, okay? Did Malik Nabers just wow himself into a wide receiver one spot on draft day? We have his eye-popping workout when we return. RC saw it in person. More NFL Live on the way.
The moment is never too big for Tate.
He can throw it. He can throw it accurately. He can throw it anywhere on the field.
I mean, I'm going to just be blessed wherever I hear my name called.
Sprint ahead, and he's in! Jaden Daniels!
It looks like Jaden Daniels having fun, right?
You know, I walk my journey. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Jaden Daniels should be the guy.
Playing his best football right now.
I mean, if I'm picking quarterbacks, I'm taking him.
You know, I'm just blessed overall just to be here. And no matter where I hear my name called, I'll be happy.
Those LSU guys, they're stars. You see on the left, Jaden Daniels, the quarterback. In the middle, Malik Nabers, the wide receiver who put on a show. And Brian Thomas Jr., who we shouldn't forget about in all the conversation around Malik and Jaden. Their pro day today was impressive across the board. And Matt Miller is back with us. What did you see from each of the stars today at LSU's pro day? Let's start, Matt, with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, they definitely did not disappoint, which is what we expected. Here's something interesting with Jaden Daniels. He had not met with NFL teams before today. He didn't do that at the Combine. He has meetings set up with the New England Patriots, the Washington Commanders, New York Giants, Minnesota Vikings, Denver Broncos, Las Vegas Raiders. Not the Chicago Bears, which is interesting. They have the first pick. You would think they would be talking to all the quarterbacks. As of yet, that has not been scheduled. As far as the throwing today, everything I heard, Jaden did really well. He did miss a little bit on a couple deep balls, but this was a really good workout for him. And I think he's still locked in as a top three pick in this year's draft. Now, you mentioned Malik Nabers put on an absolute clinic. We didn't see him test at the NFL Scouting Combine. He waited for today. It was awesome. 4.35 unofficial at 199 pounds. Also a 42-inch vertical jump. He is the most explosive wide receiver in this year's draft. And something I reported on here with you guys back at the Senior Bowl is that a lot of NFL teams believe he's the best wide receiver in this draft. Some of it goes down to fit and scheme, but Neighbors certainly has a ton of fans that could get him as that top wide receiver in this year's group. And I love that you mentioned Brian Thomas Jr. He had a couple fantastic catches today on vertical routes. He's the guy who did test at the combine, ran a 4.33. He is a player that in most drafts we'd be talking about as a number one wide receiver because of how well he plays the ball vertically. 17 touchdowns last year that led the nation. He was a breakout star as Jaden Daniels improved his deep ball. And again, in most drafts, Brian Thomas is a top 10 pick. He's a wide receiver one. He's a player that will be a rookie starter in the NFL. And it's weird because there's elements of Justin Jefferson in his game, the way he attacks the ball deeply. But because we have these great wide receivers in Neighbors and Rome Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr., we're kind of forgetting about Thomas, who in my most recent mock draft that came out today was the number 12 overall pick.
Yeah, I liked where you put him because I do think he does get overshadowed a little bit, and he shouldn't. Let's continue on with some of these LSU players. Last season, Malik Neighbors and Brian Thomas Jr. became the third pair of teammates in LSU history to each have at least 1,000 receiving yards in the same season. They're in good company, okay, joining a group of players who have been highly successful at the NFL level in Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson. Those pairs, of course, we all know about. Lewis Riddick caught up with Neighbors after the pro day today.
How aware are you of the debate that's starting to really heat up about who's the number one receiver in this draft? How aware are you of that? How much do you care?
Very aware. You know, I care about it, you know, a lot more. You know, if you were asking Justin Jefferson the same thing when he came out, he would be saying the same thing, because a lot of those guys had him as receiver two, receiver three. And, you know, look where he is now. So I would say that dog mentality doesn't stop no matter, you know, what rank that we go in. You know, we're always going to be based as wide receiver one. And if we don't get there or they don't put us there, we're going to show you why.
Right.
So even if I get put at receiver one, I know that guy is going to be right behind me trying to prove everybody wrong. So, you know, it's going to always be a battle between, you know, us three or us two.
Yeah, I mean, can we just, like, keep watching that over and over again?
Man.
Goodness. RC, you were at the pro day. What did you see from Malik Neighbors?
I'm emotional, guys. I mean, can we start putting some respect on LSU wide receivers, please? When you look at Malik Neighbors and his excitement after jumping to 42, the way he and Jaden Daniels embraced after the 40, that's that competitive spirit, that nature that I was talking about, that personality. This dude could play defense if he wanted to, from a personality standpoint. Talking to his coach, Cortez Hankton, after the pro day, he was saying he doesn't get arm tackled. He runs through single tackles. He's a guy that once he catches the football, he turns into a different player. He talked about the way he plucked the football out of the air. He's a natural wide receiver by skill, by trade, but he has the body of a running back, much like Ja'Marr Chase when he was coming out of LSU. I understand Marvin Harrison Jr. went into this year and people looked at him as a transcendent talent, and he probably still will be wide receiver number one. But Malik Neighbors has star written all over him. But the thing I love the most is that today meant something to him, and he said it even to Lewis. Being number one matters. And if I'm not number one, I'm going to show you why I should have been number one. And if I am number one, I'm going to work every day to prove to you that the guy behind me never will be. I love that about him.
Yeah, Malik Neighbors is Steve Smith and Tyreek Hill in a combination.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch him, the strength, the violence that he plays with reminds me of Steve Smith, who's one of the, in our generation, RC, you played against them.
Yes.
The best.
Monster.
And when it comes to the explosive element, when you watch this tape, you're like, oh my gosh, just get him the football. That's why, like, he's Debo, but more explosive in a way. And I love how RC referenced his skill set is a true wide receiver. I wanted to ask Matt a question. I understand the quarterback factors into this question. I haven't watched a ton of Marvin Harrison clip by clip by clip. I've seen every snap offensively of LSU. The tape's not that close this year, right? Between Marvin and Malik?
Not this year. No, not this year. Marvin had some drops this year that were different. And while he's fast, he's not explosive. I think Marvin is more AJ Green. I love the Steve Smith, Tyreek Hill mashup. That's a great one. But I think Marvin is much more like it's almost poetic watching him run routes and the late hands now he adjusts for balls. But Neighbors is, I mean, he plays with a jetpack on. There's just, it's a very different type of wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. certainly had the injuries he was dealing with. Sure. There were
and
a
the
few
quarterback
things.
Play is different.
Quarterback play is huge. Yes. The way the offense operates is huge. But either way, I agree, the tape is a lot different. It's very far off this year with Malik having the edge there. Matt, okay, we've only got time for one more thing before we go, so we're going to go there. I wanted to just get one more question in, but that's okay. Saquon Barkley lobbying for a Jason Kelce return on the New Heights podcast. Listen to this.
So, man, I can't. This is going to be so fun to watch. It's going to be so fun to be a part of. It's going to be great.
You don't
got
to watch
it. I do got
one
piece of advice. I got one piece of advice. Before you ask me to come back, I'm not going to come back. I'm not doing it. Done that. Do not go down at the 1 yard line. You got to go down at the two.
Yeah.
Go down at the one.
It's curtains.
He knew it too. He's like, don't even ask me. He's got the Eagle sweatshirt on and everything. What do you think, RC? Come on back,
well,
Jason
I think
Kelce.
It's amazing, right? Because if I'm Jason Kelce, I love the fact that people are clamoring for me. If I'm Saquon Barkley, that's exactly what you should be doing. This is one of the best centers to have ever played the game. And what about the sage advice? If you're going to go down, do it at the 2 yard line because you know what's about to happen.
Hey, how about this? Matt said, hey, RC, if you're handing out suits, you can dress me for the draft. And we got to make that happen.
Matt, I got it. Only if I get to pick out the fabrics. If I get to pick out the fabrics, we are both all in. Andre Julie is special for both of you guys.
We'll make it happen. Everyone's going to be looking sharp. We'll see you tomorrow.